Well, if you guys don't know me, I'm Gavin, and normally not here, as Gretchen said, so it's going to be awkward for everyone. Glad you're here with me. So initially, Steve asked me if I wanted to speak. I had the opportunity to say no, and I blacked out, and he said, all right, here's the date, so get ready. So let's just pray real quick. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity, and Lord, I just ask more than anything that I would stay out of your way. I know that you have a word to give to this congregation, Lord, today, and it's straight from your heart, and I just ask that there's no confusion in the way that I communicate that, Lord, but that your heart is clearly spoken through me and through the things that we talk about this morning. So we thank you, Lord, for it, in Jesus' name. So naturally, I'm talking about praise because all of a sudden I'm praise and worship pastor. So here we go with that. I started reading a book. It's called Experiencing God, Don Wheeler. He's been kind of pseudo a part of this church since the beginning. But he recommended and gave me this book, Experiencing Worship. It's by Bob Sawyer, I think is how you say his name. It's got a G, I think a mark on it too. So Sawyer. So what we're going with. So a lot of this stuff initially came from me reading that book, and it started me down this thought process, and God started to reveal some of these things to me in it. So the praise effect, that's what I'm going to call it today, the praise effect. And it reminds me of kind of a ripple effect, because a lot of things happen when we praise God. And so we're just going to kind of dive into what that ripple effect is. So didn't have time to make a fancy graphic, but it would have been cool. I could kind of see it like the effect on the ripple, but didn't make it there. So let's start by just defining the word praise. So to express warm approval or admiration of, or to express one's respect and gratitude towards. So there's a lot of praise that happens on a daily basis, even amongst friends or amongst somebody that you admire, you know. But definitely when it comes to God, warm approval, admiration, respect, and gratitude. So that's kind of what we're keying in on today. So in that book that I told you guys about, Experiencing Worship, it poses this question first. Why do we praise him? And the first thing it says is, he commanded you to do it. And something really American got in me on that. I'm like, I got freedom. You gotta command me to do this. But that was really, really carnal. I get it. It was really flesh. I didn't stay in that for a moment. Just trust me. He said he told us to do it. So let's jump over to Psalms 150 there. I'm just going to read it. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of a ram's horn, with a lyre and a harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes, crash of cymbals, and loud clanging cymbals at that. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's the whole chapter right there, Psalms 150. Pretty clearly explains what we're supposed to be doing. So that's a real convenient synopsis there. That quote is what settled this for me. Ultimately, praise doesn't add anything to God, but it does bring us into a proper relationship with him. So when you dive off into that, God commanded us to praise him, not because he was going to get something from us for it, not because he was like, I'm awesome. You guys need to be consistently telling me for me to be able to keep doing this for you. It's not anything about that. It's about what he knows praise does in our hearts. What he knows praise does in our focus and affection, and everybody knows it in here probably, praise has a huge impact, and it's for that reason God says praise me. I'm not sure how I didn't make this connection earlier in life, but it's huge. If you really sit with that, it's huge. It shows his heart in a huge way. He doesn't do anything that's not for our good, even in accepting praise. Like, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. So the next thing, why praise him? Is we were made for it. So Isaiah, where am I at? 43:20-21. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and ostriches, because I have given waters to the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people who I formed for myself will declare my praise. That was really good. So that's why. Like, he made us to do it. Kind of designed to do it. I thought it was interesting they used jackals and ostriches. It's kind of a weird. But anyways, moving on. Yeah. How about Labradors? And anyways, so we praise him by, like, how do we praise him? I started thinking through. He just started walking me through this process as I was preparing for it. So he's like, look, this is why you do it. And so now we're going to talk kind of about how, and not in the sense of what it tangibly looks like. It's more of a heart posture, right? So Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says, since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not about things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And that last bit there is praising. You'll praise, you know? So that's what he said to me. So to praise me, you gotta be focused on me, essentially. You gotta be looking at me. You gotta make eye contact with me. To praise me, we need to set our sights on him. So, for the purpose of illustrating this, I'm gonna have some other people up here and for a time filler. So, God. I already picked guests, so don't raise your hands. I know everybody wants to participate, but God's gonna come up. Can we borrow this throne here? Let me just grab that, sorry.
Seemed to be like a throne. Okay. I know.
It's sacrilege, I know, I'm sorry. And the world, can we have the world come up here? Just got the God in the world. Here we go, perfect. Here's the world. This is TB, everybody. He's my friend, and he's not my wife. So we got the world over here. So God says, set your mind on these things. Does zipper work? All right. So set your mind on the things of heaven, on heavenly things. God, you're so good. I thank you so much for everything you're doing in my life right now. This is weird. I didn't anticipate that. Wow. So I'm praising him. And meanwhile, I got the world behind me. I said, oh, God, you're so good. Man, it's got antlers. But God, this is happening over here. I mean, I know you're good, but it's like there's everything's coming at me right now. All the fear and anxiety, like what's going on? So the world is back here and I'm trying to focus here. I say, okay, so I'm going to work on this here. I'm going to pull up a song because I thought it was relevant. So I'm praising. Okay. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed, but Lord, you're going to have to give me some vision. I mean, I know what to do, but I know you're good though. I know you're good. I got to keep my focus on you. I get that, but it's hard with the world throwing things at me. I can't, I know you're good. What should I do, Lord? What should I do? Just, okay. All right. So what should I, okay. All right. I think I'm getting it. Okay. God, you're so good. And, okay. All right. Well, gosh. Okay. You're doing good. You've known this before. Okay. All right. So, I know your mercy endures forever, Lord. And I know you come closer this way. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're so good. So you see, when my focus is on God, when I'm praising, he guides me. He sets my path straight. So pause for a second. We're going to do this throughout the whole service. And it's going to be neat. It's going to be really neat. Okay, so when we praise, when we have our focus on God, look at what happens. Abide. I know this is a new word around here. Not a lot of people have heard it. It's something we don't talk about often at all. But abide. When we abide, our praise and our focus and our admiration is on him. So the byproduct is he's directing us now. So this is what happens when we praise. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I looked into that a little bit. Your path straight. And it says he will make a way that is smooth or right. He will make a way that is smooth or right. So when my focus is on him, not looking, hey, I didn't say go. Wow. I said pause. Okay. So when my focus is on him, he's guiding me. He's directing me. But not only that, we're going to take it a step further. He's enthroned on the praises of his people. So I had thought about the scripture. He brought it to my mind, and he inhabits the praises of his people, which, didn't know, same verse. So King James Version says, you inhabitest the praises of thou people. So I looked into enthroned because I thought, well, that means we're going to raise him up on a throne and carry him through and we're going to praise him, right? Doesn't mean that at all. I mean, it means to sit or dwell or rest in. You're saying it. Look at that right down there. Abide. That means we're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. We're getting somewhere. So when he abides in us and he inhabits our praises, what does that look like to you? Who inhabits us as Christians? Who inhabits us? Holy Spirit. Somebody said it. Holy Spirit. Come on, Scott. We got a Holy Spirit. That's right. Scott's doing it. So we're going to go game on here in a second, boys. Okay. So this is good. It's really good. So now I'm focused. I'm praising. And wow, this is a lot easier. I could just, Lord, you're so good. Wow. I don't even have to think about what's going on behind me now. Okay. Yeah. Now the Holy Spirit's guiding me every single day as I praise him, God in me is guiding me. He didn't have to tell me anything. He didn't have to direct me or anything because he's right here. This is him. God, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your mercy, your faithfulness, your goodness, your kindness. You're so good, God.
Pause.
All right. So he inhabits the praises of his people, and that's what that looks like. He abides in us. So we'll take a pause. You can sit on the corner if you want to. It's probably going to be a quick pause. Oh, back to the beginning. I know it's rich right now. I know we're doing good things, but I had a thought when I said yes to this that it's really a win-win situation because either I tank and we get out early and everybody gets to go to lunch, or God actually gets something through me, which will be a huge win. I think that might happen, but it's what I'm rooting for still. But anyways, okay. So, yeah, okay, thank you. So next, as we are continuing, our God-focused, we're keeping our eyes set on him, he raises up a standard. He raises a standard against the enemy. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So he'll fight our battles. Like he's in me, he's directing me, but it goes beyond that. He's gonna fight our battles in that moment. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is because God knew from the beginning of time, I want you to praise me, and this is the result. This is not a good option. This is not a good option. This is the end result of following that commandment. We're going to praise him. I'm going to stay locked into him. Now the Holy Spirit, he's going to direct me. He's going to direct my path. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. You know what? This is so much easier than worrying about what's going on over here. This is so much easier than carrying around this even. Because some of this stuff that he throws at me, gently, bitterness, unforgiveness. Now I get to carry it? These are tools of the enemy. What are these doing with me? I don't need that. This is what I need. So when he raises up a standard, let's take a look at what that looks like. Guys, I got a winning combination today. Rick, come on up. So this is what that looks like. Do you want some of that? I think not. Show him grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Look at this guy. So this is how we raise a standard up. So he is now actively fighting my battles. Now, TB is a strong guy, but come on. So I'm back. I'm focusing. Lord, you're so good. Gosh, you turn graves into garden. Beauty for ashes, Lord. You change it. You exchange it, God. You're so good. I'm thankful for you right now, gosh. Oh, this is good. I don't even know what's going on, but God, I'm so thankful. Does anybody else see it? I don't. He's fighting my battles over here. Look at how happy he is. She. Look at how happy God is. He's fighting our battles right now. Okay, pause. All right. Let's just leave everything here for now, guys. You can take a break. But that is what happens as we continue to praise. Not only does he infill us, not only does he abide inside of us, but then he goes further and says, you don't even have to think it. I'm gonna guide you. I'm gonna make your path smooth. Now, we all know, he didn't say, I'm gonna give you a bed of roses. You're not gonna have one trouble in this world. But he will make your path right. He will make your path right. So then he raises up a standard, fights for us. So we keep on trucking. Now, I've got my focus right. I am not even fighting my own battles anymore. And our praise becomes purposeful at that point. So what that looks like is me facing God, keeping everything's happening still behind here. Then he says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Your praise is going to pour out into other people. So now as I walk along my way, all this stuff is going on, I'm going to meet somebody and they're going to be walking. I'm going to say, he turns graves into gardens. Where are you going? He turns mourning to dancing. You look sad. You look really, really sad. Praise, praise, praise. The whole time God's just saying, just praise me. Just praise me. So that's where we jump into, it becomes purposeful. Guys, there's a reason we're supposed to be here, right? It's to affect change. Praise. 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 You don't have to go to somebody and say, look, you're doing it all wrong. Who taught me in this moment? Who taught me in this moment? He taught me. He taught me. You don't have to do it. He's doing it. You think he cares so much about the enemy that his focus is only there? No, his focus is on the children that haven't been told yet. His focus is on the people that need to hear. His focus is on the people you're going to touch simply by praising him, simply by keeping your eyes on him. So it's purposeful. Now, there's going to be too many people. So anyways, I got one person with me now, and guess what? God did the same thing for them. The Holy Spirit's there. He's put up a standard. Now we've got this. We're building an army. Next one. Next one. Next one. This whole stage could have been full, and that was really my vote. Because again, I'm trying to stretch the time out, but COVID kind of ruined that. So anyways, so this whole stage is filled. This is the army that's happening, the war that's waging as a result of our praise and affection and attention simply on God. Simply on God. Wow. That's where the unity of praise becomes powerful. So we talk about Jericho. I jumped into that for a second because I thought, hey, listen, there were a bunch of people and they were shouting. It must be praise. Good things happen, right? So you look at that, you read the story, and they marched around the walls of Jericho for 6 days, not making a noise. Had to be super eerie. Quiet people bother me. I'm not even going to lie. Can you imagine a whole army of them just like, and he just says, hey, on the seventh day, when I say shout, you're going to shout. And that's what he says. Shout, for the Lord has given you this town. That's praise, people. That is praise. You're calling out his promise right there. Shout, for the Lord has given you this town. Oh, you gave me this town. This is amazing. Bam, the walls come down. Power of praise in his people. Same thing with Paul and Silas on a smaller scale, but much, much bigger probably in terms of, you know, the jail had all the metal and stuff. Probably a lot more stronger than the block walls of the, maybe not. I don't know. Point being, every lock, every door open as a result of what? They didn't even shout. They just praised him. They just praised him. Golly. Yeah. So they're sitting there in jail. They're saying, I've searched the world, God, but nothing can fill me. Man's empty praise, all of these treasures around me, they fade, but they're never enough, God. But you came along. You put me back together, Lord. Every desire is now satisfied when I'm here in your love. Sitting in prison, they're saying this, mind you. They're feeling the love behind. There's nothing better than you. There is nothing better than you, God. There's nothing better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. And bam, he did. Right there in that moment, he did. If you go on to read the story, the jailer actually came in, and he thought he was dead anyways because jail cells are open. Everybody's gone. I'm dead. Went to draw a sword and kill himself. And I said, whoa, we're all still in here. Take it easy. What a picture of grace and mercy right there. Even in the moment, their enemy has grace and mercy on him too. The power of our praise and the power of the unity of our praise. It's a compounding effect, and that's what I like about Sunday mornings too. There's power in the jail cell. There's power in your quiet time with God. It's important, right? We see that. There's power in the unity of praise. So as we continue down, he told me, what does this produce? It produces faith in other people. We talked about that. It produces power, but fruit. Well, that's pretty easy. I guess he abides in me. It produces fruit. And Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there are no law. And that's what it does, guys. When we have our focus, when we have our attention set on God, it produces the fruit of the Spirit. He's in us. He's moving through us. It's fluid. It's fluid. You know, when I first was facing the Lord and I'm getting hit still, I'm kind of like, I get what you're saying, but this is happening over here. And then I keep praising, I keep pushing through, and he inhabits me at that point, and his Spirit comes over me, and then he's taking the blows at that point. I don't even feel it at that point. I'm saying, wow, you are so good. Your mercy endures forever. You're faithful. And from that point, it grows into fruit. He's abiding in us at that point. We're abiding in him at that point. He can't help but produce fruit at that point. Wow, guys. It's way earlier than I thought it was going to be. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's early and God said something. Okay, so. Drum roll, please. Last slide. Praise is the answer. What issue? Just somebody yell out, what issue? What issue do you have? You want to go? No, you look so pretty, honey. Come on. Yeah, you can go if you want to. All right. And you guys can too. Yeah, let's give it up for God. Give it up for God. Hallelujah. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise is the answer. So somebody yell out something that they struggle with. No. Just shallow answers. Let's stay surface level. We don't need to get into that. Anger, unforgiveness. So let's just start with those two. Anger. So what happens when you praise in the midst of your anger? Interesting. Unforgiveness. What happens when you praise in the middle of your unforgiveness? You're holding on to that. You're festering. Why would they do that? Why would that person do that to me? Ooh. So you see his perspective kind of, huh? Yeah. Praise is the answer. Period. I promise you. I ran through some things that we deal with. And praise is the answer. Yeah. Peace, right? Amen. So, this is totally a God thing. I didn't plan this, and I'm not making it up. So, just so you know, it might sound like a fib, but I'm not lying, people. I went to put one of my kids down last night, and they went into this thing that they've been struggling with at school. And and this specific child of mine is got the Lord. And she said, there's even times at school where I go to the bathroom so I can pray.
So close.
jealousy is something that she's struggling with. And she sees she likes this boy. This happened way too soon. God, way too soon. So she likes this boy, and her best friend likes him too, and he likes her. And she's a cheerleader, and he plays football. So what are we going to do with this? Every Friday is game day, and they dress up and match each other and take pictures. And jealousy. I mean, for real. It's not even play to her. It's for real. And so I'm just listening, trying to give her good dad advice, you know, lost as a ball in high weeds. I don't know what to do about that. I'm like, that kid's an idiot. You don't need him. She's probably not your best friend if she's rubbing it in either. You know what I'm saying? She's not. She's sweet. I didn't go that right route full on. But I just kept trying to stay in there with her and stay engaged in the conversation. Sometimes I'm a little bit dismissive of those. Just, I don't know why. Probably because I don't know what to do. But I stayed in there with her. And then it hit me. I've been preparing for this sermon like really just yesterday mainly. But I had some thoughts. But I've been preparing. I said, you know what God's teaching me? I said, I'm gonna be talking tomorrow. I'm going to be doing what Pastor Steve normally does. And you know what he's teaching me? The answer is praise. The answer is praise. So I said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about all of the things that make you jealous. All of the things that you struggle with in those moments. I want you to think about them. I really want you to get in your head what's going on in those times. Because I was asking her, like, what makes you jealous about that or whatever. But she did. She closed her eyes and she put it in her brain and she starts dwelling on it. I said, okay, now with your mouth, I want you to sing with me, Reckless Love. So I start singing. She starts singing. And at first she's just mouthing it, still kind of dwelling on it. She's trying to get both going, which scientifically impossible, actually. Multitasking is not a thing. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's proven. So she can't do it. We sang through it. We sang through a verse and a chorus and the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And I said, did you see what happened? It's actually impossible for you to think about those things when you're praising him. And you know what she said? Can we do it again? So praise is the answer. Praise is the answer. And, you know, I started back at that very beginning. He commanded us to do it for our good. He didn't command us to do it for his good. Like we're going to add something to God. That's really silly. He loves it. Oh gosh, he loves it. But he loves it for our benefit even. That's incredible. Let's go ahead and have the band back up here. We should sing a song. We should try it out. See if it works. Well, we were going to go Graves into Gardens. That'd be okay? I mean, we could go Reckless Love. I mean, any other? Sorry, okay. We're going to go Graves into Gardens. We already kind of told the band. We're locked in. Band, come on out. So I want you to do, I'm going to ask you to, not commanding you to, but I'm going to ask you to think about what you've been struggling with. And what you've been dealing with, what the world is throwing at you. And then I'm going to ask you to praise. Let him handle it. Let him inhabit you. Let him build a barrier between you and all that stuff you shouldn't be handling in the first place. Let him. Ricky, can we grab the lights back there? God, I thank you that we were made to praise. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your heart for us and your perfect design, God. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Let's just worry about keeping our eyes on you. Let's just worry about keeping our focus and our admiration on you. It's more than just watching you. It's more than just looking at you. But that's where it starts, God. We got to set our eyes on you. We'll glorify your name. We'll magnify your name, Lord. You're so worthy of our praise and affection, God. And I thank you that even in your greatness, even in the grandeur of your magnificence, God, your heart in it is for your children. Your heart in it is for your kids.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.